We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Father, we thank you for this new series, Dominoes. Let it be more than just a sign, a marketing and advertising. Let it be more than, Father, just words in a series. But Lord, I'm believing that through this series, we will know the power of a domino effect. Your word says one will put 1,000, two can put 10,000. And I'm believing today, Lord, you will speak to us. We will not just hear a message, but we will receive it. We will live it out. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated, everybody. Good. I want to make sure I didn't miss anybody. Los Angeles, Greenville, Wilson, Richmond, Norfolk, Seaboard, and Great Neck, and all of our online viewers, well, you are especially welcome here today. We love you. We're glad you're watching. And I want to encourage everybody just to lean into the word today. Is that good? Everybody say, lean in. All right. Now, the 9 o'clock was a little quiet this morning. Now, I think maybe it's because of the message, the concerns of the message, but I just want to make sure that we're all going to be making a decision that we're going to lean into the word. Now, leaning in means this. You're actually ready to receive. You've got pen and paper. You got your iPad. And every now and again, you just let the preacher know you're enjoying it. What are you doing, Pastor? I'm just doing to you what some of you are doing to me. Come on. You ready for the word? You ready to receive it? We're excited about this new series. I honestly believe God's going to speak to us. I really do. I think it's more than just God's going to speak to us. That would be enough. But I believe we're going to get wisdom to live out a life to create greater positive momentum in our lives as a result of it. And so, who's ever heard of the snowball effect? I think Dave Ramsey talks about you got to start getting rid of the little debts. And when you start doing that, it creates this snowball where the ball gets bigger, it gets better and faster, and you gain momentum. Or if you like, an avalanche. Matter of fact, does anybody remember the year that Roger Bannister, is that his name? Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile. Does anybody remember what year that was? It was a long time. It was in 1954. And this is the time he got it. No one had ever broken the four-minute mile. Matter of fact, not only had no one ever broken it, they actually believed in the 50s it was physiologically impossible for a human being to actually run that fast. 1 mile under 4 minutes, but it was Roger Bannister who broke it in 1954 with a time of 3:59.4. Did you know that since then, 1,400 men have broken the 4-minute mile? I actually want to make sure I had this right. Sorry, girls, but not one girl has yet to break it. So I just figure, come on, girls, get your game up. You never know, could be somebody right here in Wave Church that could break. Leah, I think if you really put your mind to it, 4-minute mile. And since then, 1,400 people have broken it. That's the whole point. It's called the domino effect. What was considered to be impossible, when somebody does it, then all of a sudden it becomes achievable. Bernie Madoff, no doubt, knew the power of a domino effect. He said to this guy, give me $1 million and I'll invest it, and I'll guarantee, I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but he guaranteed a beyond what would be achievable in the natural, a return within a certain window of time. So on that promise, then someone gave him $1 million. Then he comes over to this guy, he goes, you give me $1 million. And with that $1 million, he took a portion of it and gave the return that he promised to this guy that actually wasn't achievable, but he had the other $1 million to work with. And as long as he kept getting more people to buy into it, but sooner or later, it all comes, and the domino effect is literally people's lives were bankrupted and destroyed because of the domino effect. It will catch you. Amen. This is what the Bible says. One will put 1,000 to flight, Deuteronomy 32. Two will put 10,000. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that two are better than one. That's why it says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 25, don't neglect the gathering together of the saints. Because we are more powerful together than if we're by ourselves. Come on, all the campuses, I need an amen. So it's not just what's happening here at Great Neck, but we are more powerful together when we understand the power of gathering. Amen. Two are better than one. Two is one, according to the Navy SEALs that they teach you. Two is one. If you have two guns and you lose one, you still got a gun. But one is none. You got one gun, you lose your gun, you're in trouble. Put it in a boardroom. You're traveling to a business meeting. You got two business shirts. You spill coffee on one of them. It's okay because two is one. You have one shirt, you spill coffee on it. You're going to a store to buy a shirt because that's the principle of together. Amen. Think about it in a sporting team. If you're maybe a golfer and at the end of the day on a golf course, you can have all the coaching, everybody else around you that can help you. But once you're on that golf course, it's you and that ball. There's nothing and no one to blame except you. And you will win or you will lose entirely on your efforts on a golf course. But if you're in a basketball team and you can have the worst game of your life personally, but the team can still win a game. Do you see the power of what I would consider more of dominoes when it's more than just one thing? So I was doing a little bit of study about a couple of domino effects. And one of the studies I looked at was the great earthquake in 1906, which brought about an amazing financial devastation to the entire nation of the United States because all the money went to rebuild San Francisco. And then the farmers didn't have money for their seed and therefore had no harvest. And then the banks called in the loans and the farmers weren't able to pay back the mortgages. And so then the farmers went out of business. But then the banks who loaned the farmers, they got in trouble. And all the small banks, there wasn't a Federal Reserve like we know it today. It was held on the gold standard. You weren't allowed to have as much money in the economy as much was in the gold of the US government. And so what happened was those banks actually got called on by the bigger banks, and the bigger banks, that they couldn't pay, so the bigger banks went in trouble, and the leader of the biggest bank in New York committed suicide, and as a result of him committing suicide, the loss of confidence in the banking system went on a run, and everybody went to the banks drawing out their money, and it literally financially ruined a nation. Until J.P. Morgan comes along, and when one single act of generosity brings gold over from Britain and completely rights a financial ruined situation. Domino effect. Can anybody see it? Or did you know that World War I started on a domino effect? Did you know what started World War I was simply one person being killed? Did you know that in World War I, actually was considered one of the deadliest conflicts in the history of human race, in which over 16 million people died. The total number of both civilian and military casualties was around 37 million. The war killed almost 7 million civilians and 10 million military personnel. On April 16, 1917, the U.S. joined World War I, and soon held the first of three draft registrations, in which more than 24 million U.S. men would register for the draft. The United States had more than 4.7 million service members serving during World War I, and more than 50,000 American lives were lost during that battle, with some 200,000 non-mortal wounding. All because an emperor's nephew was killed. And the domino effect because of treaties and nations started World War I. And what they said was, we'll never make that mistake again. That was the war, they said, that would end all wars. Can I tell you, you and I need to understand the power of a domino effect. It can be good for good or it can be for bad. Come on, someone say amen. So I thought today, what would I talk to you about in this message to all of our campuses? What would I share that might help us build the right kind of momentum and beware of the wrong kind of momentum? Because you can be doing a lot of things right, but if you're doing one thing wrong, it can undermine all the good things you're doing right. You with me here? I mean, you know, if you're successful and you got a bad temper, why change? As long as your version of success is about money, if your version of success is all about personal gain and satisfaction, then why change if you're successful and you got a bad temper? Yet that temper can bring your life to ruins. Come on, somebody say amen. So I got this word for you. Are you ready for it? It's a word that I actually think is something that actually needs to be understood, the power of the domino effect. It's gossip. Everybody say gossip. Turn to the person next to you and say gossip. And here's the dictionary meaning of the word gossip. Here it is. a person who repeats stories about other people. That's the dictionary meaning. A person who repeats stories about other people. Talk or rumors involving the personal lives of others. Gossip, or the verb is gossiped or gossiping. And I want to see what Paul says in the New Testament. What does he have to say about this word called gossip? This is one way of looking at it. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, "For I am afraid." Could you imagine the Apostle Paul talking to the church about something he's afraid of? This guy's been whipped, beaten, stoned to death. Many people believe brought back to life as a result of it. Shipwrecked. He fears no demon. He actually has conquered and drove out many things, many demons. He's brought kings and emperors to their knees. And yet he has a fear. And he goes, "And I'm afraid that when I come to you, I may not find you as I want you to be. And that you may not find me as you want me to be." Paul's afraid. He says, "Well, I've heard some stuff that's going on in the church. And I'm afraid when I get there, it's going to be true. And as a result of it, I'm afraid you may not find me the way you want me to be. Because you're going to want me to be all huggy and lovey and so good to see you. But I'm going to need to bring some correction. And what you think is I'm going to be is all huggy and all lovey. And I'm afraid that I'm not going to be that person because I'm afraid that some of you are doing some things that aren't good." So what does he talk about? He goes this. He goes, "For I fear there may be discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander." Look at this word. Gossip. Everybody say gossip. Arrogance and disorder. Here's the first domino effect of gossip. Are you listening to this now? Gossip is damaging the church life. And it actually causes leaders to fear. For they know the power of gossip. And what it can do in a marriage, what it can do in a sports team, what it can do in a business, and what it can do in a community of believers. Can you imagine? One of the things that the Apostle Paul was afraid of was finding out people were actually gossiping. Here's the next one. Look at this, Proverbs 11, verse 13. "A gossip," the Bible says, "betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret." We're talking about the domino effect of gossip. And here the Bible says that gossip is betrayal. Listen to one more time. A gossip betrays a confidence. There is betrayal wrapped up in gossip. In other words, the domino effect is a lot of people are going to be hurt by this. Here's the third one. Look at this. Proverbs 22, verse 10. "Drive out the mocker and out goes the strife. Quarrel and insults are ended." Did you hear it? We're talking about the domino effect of what gossip is. And the Bible says, if you drive out the mocker, out goes the strife. In other words, if you want to put a stop to the domino effect of gossip, gossip is only ended when you remove the gossiper. That's what the Bible says. When you remove, drive out the gossiper, and out goes the strife. You will not see an end to gossip unless you're willing to drive out the gossiper. And maybe I'm not talking about you trying to find somebody else. I'm trying to talk about the gossiper in you. That you drive out the gossiper in you. Don't make this about somebody else. I'm talking to us, and I'm saying every one of us, if in our own natural desires, can lean towards saying things that we need not be saying. Saying things that actually ends a confidence or betrays a relationship. You got to drive it out. Look at the next one. Proverbs 26, verse 20. "Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down." Here's the first domino effect. Watch this. Gossip only ends when we stop feeding it. Did you hear me? One of the things I love to do is I love to go up in somewhere into the Shenandoah Mountains and put up a tent and sleep out overnight, start a fire, sit by that fire. And one of the things I do know is if I don't keep putting wood on that fire, I'm going to get cold. And so I keep getting wood, and I've got my little axe, and I'll go out there and I'll get all the dead trees and I'll cut them into a size. And as long as I keep feeding the fire, I'm going to get warmth. But let me tell you what the Bible says. When it comes to rumors, when it comes to gossip, if you actually listen to where there is no wood, the fire goes out. There are some things that I believe we need to realize that we can stop feeding gossip, and then the fire. Could you imagine this in social media? Can you imagine this on Twitter? Can you imagine if we drive out, if we actually stop feeding it without wood, a fire goes out. Amen. Anybody enjoying this? Okay, look at this one. Proverbs 16, verse 28. A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. The domino effect of gossip is actually gossip ends friendships. Who's ever seen that happen? Where somebody said something about somebody else and they once were close friends, but when they told somebody else something that was personal about them, that friendship ended, and it ended over gossip, the domino effect. Well, think about it. That's the enemy's strategy, is to isolate people, to separate people, to disconnect people. It's playing right into the hand of the enemy, and it's somebody who actually repeated the confidence, and it separates friendships. It can split churches. It can destroy marriages. It can destroy families. It can really wreck a city. Drive out the mocker, and out goes the strife. Come on, somebody give God some praise. Look at this one. Proverbs 10, verse 19. Sin is not ended by the multiplying of words, but the prudent hold their tongue. We got to learn how not to talk about certain things. I want to say it again. We got to learn how not to talk about certain things. Amen. Think about it. So here's the thought. Gossip thrives on unhealthy conversations. Listen to it. Sin is not ended by the multiplying of words. In other words, talking about it more isn't going to put an end to the sin. Matter of fact, talking about it more is probably going to add fuel to the fire, is going to add wood to the fire. Sin is not ended by the multiplying of words. So here's what we got to realize. Gossip thrives on unhealthy conversations. Sometimes there might be something that is true, but you're talking about it and repeating the matter is only making the matter worse than it already is. Sometimes you got to learn what conversations not to have. Come on, somebody. Somebody say amen. All right. What number is this? I think it's number 7. Listen to this. Proverbs 17, verse 9. Whoever would foster love covers an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Look at it one more time. Whoever would foster love covers an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Do you know the domino effect of gossip? It repeats matters. Did you hear? Listen, I want to tell you something. This is between you and me. It's a secret. I don't want you telling. Nobody else can know this. Okay, the moment someone says that to you, I want you to hear what they're really saying. Listen, I want to tell you something about me. Don't trust me. I will betray you. I will be the worst friend you could ever have in your life because I can't keep my mouth shut and I'll repeat things that were spoken to me in confidence. And I'm just trying to tell you right now, I've got the biggest blabbing mouth that you could ever, and I'm playing right into the hands of the devil and I'm unloading on you something because I'm insecure and I want you to know that I'm in the know, but I'm trusting you with the confidence. And we do it out of our own insecurity. And what we don't understand is the domino effect of what it does. It can literally start wars. It can literally end economies. It can literally bring ruin and devastation and brokenness and a breakdown of relationships, all because repeating a matter that is gossip. Turn to the person next to you and say, relax, that's for the people in front of us. It's not for us. Look at this one. Proverbs, you're about as quiet as the first service, for the record, just so you know. Proverbs 20, verse 19. I'm trying to build a faith-building message here, and sometimes I wonder if it's working. Proverbs 20, verse 19. A gossip betrays a confidence. Look at this. So avoid anyone who talks too much. Okay, go to Walmart and go to the book section and ask for a Bible and buy a Bible and open your Bible to that verse. It will tell you that. This is not Pastor Steve trying to say something here. This is God telling us, listen to me, look at it now. I want you to catch it, that we are to avoid gossipers. Amen? A gossip betrays confidence, so avoid anyone who's just got a big blabbing mouth. You all know that kind of... We've all been that person, I'm sure, at some point in their life. You know what I'm saying? Where, you know, you first, you know, you just got to learn how to be discreet. You got to learn how to keep it shut. And we're tested, I think, with people's trust and confidence. And if that trust is deepened by experience, they'll actually tend to trust you more. But if that trust is diminished by experience, they'll trust you less. That's how it works in businesses. That's how it works in companies. That's how it works in church. That's how it works in your life. Listen to this. Where trust is high, then I want to tell you, then momentum is fast. You with me here? But where trust is low, momentum is slow. And you ever see that person? Can we be honest? You ever see that person? You go, oh, dear God, do I even have time to talk to them? Because you know that that conversation will not end anytime soon. Let's be honest. Come on, just lift your hand. Okay, maybe some of you wouldn't lift your hand because you're sitting next to that very person I'm talking about. I don't know. But all I know is I have found myself, I have to be honest, on occasion, actually calculating, oh dear God, if I say hi to them, you with me here? But 10 times worse, let's listen to what the Bible says. Listen to it one more time. 10 times worse. A gossip betrays the confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. When people talk about themselves and tell you about other situations all the time, the Bible says you're to avoid that kind of a person. Can I just put it on ourselves? Can we avoid being that kind of a person? Can I just start there and say, let's make sure we're not that person that's just going around saying things. I'm just telling you this so you can pray. I just feel like I can share with you something. I've always said, never talk to somebody about a problem of someone who's incapable of solving it. Amen. And so look at this one, number 8. Listen to this, number 9. 1 Timothy 5, verse 13. Here is Paul writing to Timothy. Listen to what he says. Besides, they get in the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also busybodies who talk nonsense, saying things they ought not to say. So I counsel you younger widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. This is what the Bible says. Gossipers are habitually idle. They just go from house to house. They're busybodies. They're idle. They're actually talking about everything else. And as long as they're talking about everything and anybody else, they don't have to take a look at themselves. And they are habitually going from house to house. Are you hearing me? I can't tell you how many people over the years of me being the pastor of Wave Church have come up to me and say, Pastor, do you know what you need to do in this church? And I'm going, you who've done nothing to contribute to the life of this house, you're just sitting there doing nothing on your blessed assurance when I'm busy trying to do what I'm doing and you're going to come and tell me what I need to do? How about you get some skin in the game, Mr. Expert in Church Growth? Oh, everybody's got an opinion. It's the couch potato sitting there watching the football game. I would never have done that. I wouldn't have called that play. I would get on the field and give it a shot. I remember when I first came here, there was a couple of men who took it upon themselves to raise my two boys. They felt like they knew more as a man of what my boys' appropriate attire in church was. And so my sons came to church and had no problem with them wearing baseball caps in church. But these men who were in church leadership of a young men's ministry in our church took it upon themselves, every time they saw Josh or Sam, literally would go up to them and literally tear the hat off their head. a couple of times it actually hurt them because they were so fierce and how they ripped it. And they came to me and said, "Dad, what do we do? I don't know what to do. Are we not allowed to wear hats in churches?" And I went, "Of course you can wear a hat in church." Well, these two guys keep ripping our hats off, and a couple of times they've hurt us. And I went to these guys. I said, "Listen to me. I respect the fact that you as a father have told your son that you don't want your son wearing a baseball cap in church. I respect you. But you're not their father. I'm their father. And I've got no problem with them wearing a baseball cap. So I'm okay with you, but you better be okay with me. Because if you rip that hat one more time off their head, I will rip the hat off your head." Are you hearing me? Mind your own business. These two men got getting together and they started talking about, "We want to get rid of this pastor. I only just arrived and they're trying to get rid of me over a baseball cap." And I knew the power of gossip and I knew what it was going to do. So I had to put an end to it, drive out the mob. I said, "My friend, you need to find another church because we're going to wear hats. But I'm equally okay with you telling your son not to wear one." Come on, somebody. The danger and the destruction of people just getting, straining out the gnat and swallowing a camel. Here we are trying to plunder hell and populate heaven. Here we are trying to heal marriages. Here we are trying to make a difference in our city. Here we are trying to, and we're worrying about whether somebody's wearing a baseball cap. Anybody wearing a baseball cap this morning? More power to you in Jesus' name. Anybody got a problem with wearing a hat in church? Fine, then you don't wear a hat in church. Just don't judge anyone who does. Gossip. Habitually, Amy Torrey writes, and these are her words, not mine, but I liked them. They're worth quoting. The power of gossip at work. And I want to say the power of gossip in anything, in a marriage, in a business, in any gossip, the momentum, the domino effect, it crushes morale, doesn't it? Number two, it creates bad karma. Have you ever noticed gossipers always end up actually getting called out in court? It just comes back to you. It will bite you. Number three, gossip, listen to this, slows productivity. Number four, it ruins reputations. Amen? It eliminates trust. It spreads lies. It hurts credibility. It promotes disrespect. Gossip hurts others. It creates more gossip, the domino effect. And it isolates employees. And I didn't say it in the first session, but it actually triggers legal actions. If you don't believe me, just look at our recent appointment of a Supreme Court judge and tell me if that didn't trigger some legal actions. So here's what I want to close on. Look at me now. I want to talk about the domino effect of gossip, but I want to turn it for a moment and understand the power of telling people the truth and the power of words. I want you to think about this. The Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Did you remember the woman in the well that after she met Jesus, and the Bible says she had five husbands, the one she's living with now is not a husband? And Jesus showed her love and compassion and revealed himself to her as the Messiah. And then she went out and told the whole city, "Have I know, if she's had five husbands, the one she's living with now is not her husband. Have I know, she knows some people. Have I know, a whole lot of people know her. And there's a whole lot of people talking about, that's her. Some man perhaps going, who's that lady? I never heard of her. And I mean, the whole city knew her. And then she goes out and says to the whole city, "Come see a man who told me everything I did and yet didn't judge me and yet loved me and gave me a way to move my life forwards. Come see this man." The Bible says the whole city came and believed on Jesus because of her testimony. We can save Virginia Beach. We can save South Bay. We can save Richmond if we understood that we can tell people about the marvelous truth of Jesus. Let's put Jesus in the center of it all. The Bible says not only did they believe first because of her testimony, but then they believed for themselves. Sometimes it's your talking to others about Jesus that'll bring them to Jesus. And when they meet Jesus for themselves, man, I'm telling you, now it's rock solid. What about Jesus? power of words. The power of the domino effect. He says to somebody, come on, Jairus' daughter, she's not dead. Everyone laughs at him. He drives all the mockers out of the room. He knew the importance of an atmosphere of faith. And he said, she's not dead. She's just asleep. What was he doing? He understood the power of a word and charging an atmosphere. And he said, daughter, get up. And she was healed. What about the time when Jesus was talking to, you know, different people throughout scripture like Lazarus. And he said, hey, disciples, we need to go to Lazarus. He's asleep. And the disciples say, well, if he's asleep, he'll wake up. No, actually, he's dead. I need to go raise him from the dead. What was Jesus doing? He knew the domino effect of words. He heard the negativity. He's dead. He heard the circumstance of Jairus' daughter. She's dead. What was Jesus doing? He was trying to create a domino effect for the power of God to work. He was speaking faith into the atmosphere. What about the Shunammite woman whose son died and she goes before the prophet's servant and her son's dead in a bed and she stands before the man of God and the man of God says, how are things? She didn't say, you promised me a son and God gave me a son and now you've broken my heart because he's died. What kind of prophet are you? What kind of God do I serve? No, she stood before the prophet and she looked him in the eye with a son dead in a bed and said, everything is okay. All I know is I'm standing in front of the servant of God who gave me the miracle in the first place and the servant of God can bring him back from the dead again. What are you saying about your dead marriage? What are you saying about your dead business? What are you saying? You want the domino effect? Come on. Dominoes. We're going to talk more about that next week as we continue in the domino effect. And I pray today. Was that a good word for anybody? Oh, I'm just saying. If I were maybe a business person, if I was maybe in education, if I whatever season of life I'm at, and I'm sitting in church and I hear a message of that, I don't know about you, but I'd be going, hey, that's good preaching right there. I kind of like that, and I think to myself, sometimes we need to know the domino effect of appreciation of the Word of God. Come on, was that a good word for anybody here today? I know you're quiet. Just keep in mind, when you preach a message like this, oh, I got one pink finger pointed there, but I got four pointed back at me. No one's perfect in this, but let it be a moment where we understand the domino effect of what it will do. Slows up momentum. Trust is diminished. Let's be people. I can't even begin to tell you how many things that people have said to me and I just changed the conversation. Because I realize it's an inappropriate, unhealthy, unnecessary conversation. There are bigger fish to fry. I'm not going to strain out the gnat and swallow a camel. Could you imagine what we could do with this city? Could you imagine every campus and what we can do? In every city we have a campus. If we start telling people, come see a man. Not, did you hear? Can I pray for you? Oh, you're all very quiet. You're scaring me. Is this okay? It's like, what am I doing here? Come on. Is this helping anybody? Amen. I went out into the lobby after the 9 o'clock service and so many people said, man, that was one of the best words I've ever heard you preach. I'm going, you should play poker more often. Why? Because you mean I had a full house. That was a full house, but I could never tell by the look on your face. You mean that message was a full house? Four aces. Boy, you'd be good at playing poker. Come on, let your face know if you received the word. Come on, let your face know. That was a good word. Don't walk out going, oh, I'm a gossiper, I'm a failure. No, no. The Lord spoke to me about the domino effect, and I sure don't want that in my life, and I do want this in Jesus' name. Can I pray for you this morning? Can I pray? Did that message speak to anyone today? Here's what we're going to do. Why don't we all lift our hands? Because there's a gossip room in all of us. Come on, everybody. Everybody online, every campus. Well, Father, I've preached your word. And Lord, I yield to you now and I ask you, would you come and lovingly challenge us and change us? Let us be aware in each and every time of the domino effect for good and for bad. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.